No, this isn't the setup for a joke. I really married a clown. So my wife does for a living. She dresses up in this big, goofy white outfit and entertains people with the age-old art of slapstick comedy. I've never been much of a clown person, but they're a big deal in my wife's family. Clowning around, as she calls it, it's been a tradition that started with her great-great-grandparents who immigrated from France. They came to the States hoping to make it big as stage actors, but so was everyone else. With limited experience outside of acting, they had no choice but to take jobs as clowns in a traveling circus to make a living. Today, there are more professional clowns in her family than any other career. Most of them are standard clowns, but there are a few harlequins, jesters, and mimes. She even has a cousin who has like this evil clown act, but most of the relatives find that disrespectful to the family's legacy and don't socialize with him very often. But he's very popular at Halloween, though. When we were dating, I was a little put off when I learned that she worked as a clown. It's hard to take someone seriously who spends their time acting like a fool. Seriously. But I soon learned how ignorant my perspective was. She was in the business of selling smiles and laughter, and she was really good at it. How could I not fall in love with her? I've since come to respect her ability as an entertainer and the legacy her family has created. I won't admit this to her, but I am in awe of her juggling skills and amazed at the number of things that she can't twist out of a balloon. Last week, my wife's father passed away. It's an understatement to say her family doesn't treat death the way that everyone else does. So they don't stand around and grieve. Instead, the family gathers together to perform in honor of the deceased. Even the evil clown cousin was invited to do his act. If you drove by the cemetery during the funeral, you would have thought there was some kind of strange clown convention taking place. Everyone was dressed up as their clown persona. Even her father was dressed in the outfit he performed in. Out of respect for my father-in-law, I let my wife dress me up in one of her outfits. And when it came time for the family to say their final goodbyes, instead of placing flowers, each person placed a clown prop of some sort in the casket. My wife placed one of the rubber chickens that she used during her juggling act. None of this was a surprise to me, having already gone through it when her mother died 7 years earlier. A few days after the funeral, we found ourselves going through her father's house, trying to determine what things we're going to keep and where we're going to get rid of. It took us a couple of days, but we managed to go through every room in the house, except the attic. We decided to donate most of the clothes and furniture to a local family crisis center, where her father used to do volunteer work. All of his clown paraphernalia and associated collectibles, keepsakes, my wife was going to keep. She already owned a small museum worthy of her own clown stuff, but I knew better than to protest and just loaded everything into the car. There wasn't much in the attic worth keeping or donating. Most of it was damaged and had to be thrown away. The attic wasn't sealed off from the elements very well, so the stuff stored up there became a nest for rats and other pests. What the vermin didn't destroy, the leaky roof and fluctuating seasonal temperatures did. We did, however, find one thing up there worth keeping. It was an old painting. Found it tucked away back in a corner, covered with a thick quilt. I was surprised it had survived, considering how badly damaged everything else around it was. "Who's this supposed to be?" I asked, holding up the picture of the clown so my wife could see it. Given how important clowns were in her family, I figured it was some old relative. She scrunched up her face as she looked at the painting and tried to come up with a name. "I have no idea. I don't remember seeing that painting before in my life, but that clown looks so familiar. I'm sure I've seen him before." "And maybe he's a friend of your father's," I offered in explanation. Someone he performed with, someone that wasn't part of the family. My comment was enough to knock the appropriate memories free from her mind. "I do remember him now. I was 5 or 6 when my father invited him over to stay with us. Something happened to his family. There was a fire or something. He was the only one who survived. I remember he was kind of slow, like a kid trapped in an adult's body. They called him Ono, the clown."
"Ono the clown? What kind of name is that?"
"I believe it started out as a nickname. I don't think he understood the other clowns were making fun of him when they started calling him that."
"Oh. I didn't think clowns could be so cruel."
"Yeah, some are. I think that's why my father took him in. Felt sorry for him. He didn't stay with us very long. One day he was there, and the next he was gone. Guess he left that behind." She pointed at the painting. "At the time, I assumed my father found another place for him to stay, but I never saw him again. Such a short period of time, the memories must have gotten buried.
The painting was a simple portrait of a clown. He had red diamond pants around his protruding eyes, and a red ring circled his smiling mouth. A small patch of blue hair sprouted from the top of his otherwise bald head. In place of the standard red nose was a bright green one. The rest of his skin was painted white. All that was visible of his outfit was a large gold ruffle that ringed his neck and extended out past his shoulders. What do you want me to do with it? I asked my wife.
I like it. Put it in the car.
I knew she was going to say that.
I thought it looked kind of creepy. I briefly considered manufacturing an accident so I could toss it in the trash, but I couldn't do that to her. Not since it was tied to a memory of her father.
I carried it out to the car, and then went back inside to finish cleaning the attic. When we got home, I stacked everything in the garage so my wife could sort through it all later. When I took the painting out of the car and leaned it against the wall, I decided to turn it around. I didn't like the idea of it staring at me every time I got into my car. The next morning, I went to work. Everything was where I left it except the unsightly painting. The clown was no longer facing the wall. He was staring right at me as I started my car and pulled out of the garage. I assumed my wife must have come out at some point and turned it around. I returned home 8 hours later to find most of the boxes for my father-in-law's house were gone. That meant my wife had kept her promises and sorted through everything while I was at work. And damn, I thought when I noticed the painting was among the things missing from the garage. That meant it was somewhere in the house.
Before you say anything, please just give it a couple of days,
my wife said as I walked through the kitchen into the living room. I stopped when I noticed the giant smiling portrait of the clown hanging above the couch.
What do you think?
She hesitantly asked. It's okay, I suppose. I didn't want to hurt her feelings. We'll try it for a few days and see how it settles into the room. She threw her arms around me and planted a kiss on my cheek.
Thank you, honey.
I didn't see the harm in it. The only time we used the living room was when we had company. The only company we ever had was when her family came to visit. Since the majority of them were clowns, they were more likely to appreciate the artwork. If she had tried to hang it in the bedroom, it would have been back in the garage the moment I saw it. But she knew better than that. I didn't pay attention to the painting over the next few days. I think I may have subconsciously avoided looking directly at it. It was one of those portraits that no matter what angle you were viewing it from, it always looked like it was looking right back at you, and that unnerved me. But all paintings like that made me uncomfortable. 3 days after my wife hung the picture, I noticed there was a bit of a commotion at the house in the corner. Couldn't help but stare as I pulled out of the garage on my way to work. There was a couple of police cars parked at the curb and an ambulance in the driveway. I didn't know the neighbors personally, but I had seen them out in their yard plenty of times.
Do you hear about what happened to the Daltons?
My wife asked the minute I walked through the door when I returned home from work that evening.
Who?
I asked. I didn't know the names of most of our neighbors. I rarely had anything to do with them beyond a friendly wave.
The Daltons. They live in the corner. Zach and Miriam. They have the twins.
No, I answered her original question. But I saw the police and the ambulance outside their house when I left for work.
Someone broke into their house last night. They broke Zach's arm. They might have given him a concussion. They also gave Miriam a black eye. All of it happened in front of their terrified boys. They think it's the same person that robbed the house a couple of streets over 2 nights ago.
I shook my head. Thankful it didn't happen to us. That night, I made sure to check all the doors and windows to make sure they were locked. We never invested in a security system. We didn't think the neighborhood warranted one. But I was starting to rethink that decision. The next few days passed uneventfully. The shock of the robbery had started to subside, and the neighborhood seemed a little less tense. That didn't stop me from checking all the doors and windows before we all went to bed, though.
I think we should get a dog.
My wife lowered the book she was reading and looked at me. That sounds a lot more involved than a security system.
I know, but I think maybe I could train the dog to be part of my act, you know? When it's not guarding the house.
We went through the dog phase several years ago when we found out we couldn't have children. I thought we'd buried that idea. I guess it never really went away, and she found a way to dig it back up. How about we talk about this tomorrow? I turned off the lamp on my nightstand and settled into my pillow. It's been a long week. I just want to get some sleep. She gets some sleep, too. Do you have a gig tomorrow morning? I reminded her.
You want to escape this conversation by going to sleep? I'm going to curse you to dream about dogs.
Okay, I said, as I started to drift off to sleep. As long as they're quiet dogs. I must have been really tired because the next thing I remember was being jolted awake. I was confused at first and couldn't tell if I was startled awake by the dream I was having or something in the real world. I looked over at my wife, who was gently snoring. Must have been my dream that woke me up.
My wife's a much lighter sleeper than I was, and I figured that she would have woken up first if it was a strange sound coming from the house. I listened for a few moments, just to be sure. I was about to roll over and go back to sleep when I heard a loud thud. That wasn't part of my dream. I quickly sat up and slid my feet out of bed, scanning the bedroom for something. Anything that I could use as a weapon. It may seem funny now, but the only thing I could find was one of my wife's clown shoes. The night before a performance, she always set her costume out on the high back chair that we had in the corner of the room. I grabbed the shoe by the toe in a two-handed grip, intending to use the oversized heel as a club. Weapon at the ready, I slowly walked out of the bedroom door and peeked down the hall. I didn't see anything, but I heard a soft rustling coming from the living room, and then the soft tinkle of a bell. The reason I didn't call the police first is because our phones were on the little ledge in the kitchen, where we set them every night to charge. We banned them from the bedroom when we noticed that we spent more time on them than talking to each other. I slowly crept down the hall as the rustling continued. I didn't have much of a plan. The best one I could come up with was to try and get one of those phones and run back to the bedroom and lock the door while I called the police. I reached the corner of the hall, one that was connected to the living room. I had my back pressed against the wall as I readied myself to sprint across the entryway to grab a phone. I decided to hazard a glance into the living room, expecting to see a burglar rummaging around our things. That's not what I saw. When I poked my head around the corner, I couldn't make sense of what I was seeing. I was so stunned that I stepped out of my hiding place to take it all in. The giant clown shoe slipping from my grasp as I thought, what the fuck? Standing right across the room from me was a clown. A clown dressed like the one in the painting. In his hand, he held a juggling pin that was stained with a dark liquid at his feet. A motionless body dressed in all black. A small pool of blood spreading out from underneath the head. The clown didn't seem startled to see me. When he noticed me, he just smiled, showing his large, horse-like teeth, and brought a finger to his lips to tell me to stay quiet. He then held his hand out to indicate that I should wait. I looked over at the picture frame to confirm the identity of the clown, but it was empty. That was all the confirmation I needed. As I stared, the clown set the juggling pin down and started to pull a handkerchief out of his pocket, which was connected to another handkerchief, which was connected to another, you know, the routine. I expected the bit to end with the clown pulling out a pair of boxer shorts while looking embarrassed, but the last thing to emerge from his pocket was a towel. He held the towel up for me to see while he pulled it free from the handkerchief that it was tied to. The clown then squatted down next to the body and began to use the towel to clean up the blood. And as he did, the man on the ground groaned and began to stir. The clown didn't seem concerned. He grabbed the juggling pin, gave it a flip through the air, caught it, and brought it down on the man's head with a wet thud. He looked over at me and shrugged in an apologetic way, then used the towel to clean the blood off his juggling pin before he continued to clean the floor. When he was done, he stood up and showed me the impossibly clean towel, a towel that had just been used to soak up a large volume of blood. He showed me both sides of the unstained towel, then took a ta-da stance. I continued to stand and stare at the clown, frozen in place by the insanity of the situation. The clown placed his hand on his chin and acted like he was thinking. He then suddenly raised one finger into the air as if an idea had just occurred to him. The clown slowly knelt down over the body of the man and ripped a hole in his shirt about a midway down the back. He then took his hand and placed it upon the exposed flesh. As he pressed down, his fingers sank into the man's flesh as if it were clay. He didn't stop until his entire hand was buried inside the man's back up to his wrist. I'll never forget what happened next. As the clown stood up, the body of the man also rose as if it was nothing more than a hand puppet. The clown then proceeded to make the body dance, the arms and legs moving in time to some song only the clown could hear. I didn't know how he was able to control that body with nothing but his hand shoved into the back. I didn't want to know. I'd seen enough. It was time for the nightmare to end, and I slowly turned. I started to walk back up to my bedroom. When I got to the hallway, I stopped and I turned back around, hoping the apparition of the clown would be gone, but he wasn't. He was still standing there, holding the corpse puppet. He noticed that I turned around and he made the body wave goodbye to me while he feigned a sad face. I crawled back in the bed. I pulled the covers up. I closed my eyes. The last thing I thought before sleep was, who needs a dog or a security system when you already have a clown? Hey there, kids, it's me, Mr. Creepypasta, and once again, it's the end of tonight's video, so I want to tell you all thank you for listening or watching, however you hear my voice. Whether it be on YouTube or on the podcast, thank you so much for being here with me. There's going to be a new story every Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday night right here on YouTube, or if you're not watching on YouTube, that means the podcast gets updated on SoundCloud, Apple, Google Play, and now the podcast is on Spotify. So if it's easier for you guys to listen there than it is to listen on YouTube, then hey, not such a bad deal, right? As always, any support you guys give towards Mr. Creepypasta's Storytime really does help me out. I can actually keep the lights on in the house, and I can get nice little cat treats for Hercules. Okay, sorry for taking up so much of your time. Thank you guys for listening once again. And sweet dreams.